Our scripture reading today is from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name.
So, how's your week been? I know a lot of us here have been affected by the storms that rolled through on Friday night, and they've left some of you in the dark for a while. The last I saw, I think some of you are still without power this morning. It made a frustrating inconvenience for sure, but I know that you're all grateful that you're safe and the people and the things that you love and cherish most have survived in good shape for the most part. But your life has been interrupted nonetheless. You had to give extra thought to your habits, and your routines haven't been so routine lately. I like my routines. I find comfort in my routines, and I don't mind it so much if they're interrupted from time to time. And as a matter of fact, some of those interruptions can be kind of nice. A particular instance that I remember from some time back, it was several years ago, when a storm knocked out the power at my house. It happened after dark, so when the lights went out, it was total darkness in the house. But I found a few candles, and before long, a pleasant calm settled in. This was the days before there were smartphones, so there were no bright little screens that were filling the room with that ambient blue light. And it really was a moment to listen to the things that you only hear when there's no electronic competition. And for me, it was a moment of inspiration. I'm a writer. My day job is writing speeches for the mayor. I write the words and he says them. I write press releases and media advisories and proclamations and scripts and letters on the mayor's behalf. Those things require a lot of research, backgrounding, and verifying of the facts. They're the kind of things that start in the mind, not usually in the heart. But I also write sermons and blog posts and songs. Now, those are the things that are certainly a matter of the heart, or at least the effective ones are. When the lights went out the night of the storm and all the noise that comes with electricity was forced into quiet, the air and the atmosphere felt different. It felt inspired. And as any motivated and sensitive writer does, I sensed the opportunity and took advantage of the moment. I grabbed my supplies and my pen and I put the pen to paper, and the words were just flowing. The thoughts were coming faster than I could write them down. The room was beautifully dark and quiet, and I felt like my little candlelit corner was the entire world. Writers love these moments. They don't often come this pure, and they certainly don't usually come this organically. The inspiration was nearly intoxicating. You couldn't create a moment like this on purpose. I know, because I tried. As you'd expect, the lights didn't stay off forever. The utility crews got to work as soon as they could after the storm, and in a matter of an hour or two, the lights were back on. The TV was blaring again. The compressor on the refrigerator was back to its usual hum, and the air conditioners were rattling between all the houses in the neighborhood. I wanted the dark back. I wanted the quiet back. I tried to recreate the moment by turning everything else off, hoping that I'd be able to maintain that feeling of inspiration and the flood of the deep ideas, but it just wasn't the same. Forced darkness isn't the same as manipulated darkness. As quickly as it started with an unexpected power outage, it ended with a sudden return to the noise and the artificial light that seems to be our normal nowadays. That moment had passed, And it left, that special moment left when the darkness was gone. Most people don't care for the dark. They have good reason to want to avoid the dark if they can. We've heard all our lives that scary things hide under the cover of darkness. Thieves and robbers and troublemakers and monsters all get their power from the darkness. Frankenstein and Dracula and Jack the Ripper all did their deeds after the sun went down. So we've been conditioned to see the darkness as sinister and scary and bad. And if we're being truthful, we know that some of that notion is true. We can't deny that the scriptures often use the metaphor of light versus darkness when illustrating the battle of good versus bad. And there sometimes is actual danger in the dark. If you go down through southeastern Kentucky into the far western tip of Virginia, if you look really hard, you'll find a little place called Cudjoe's Cavern. It sits deep under the Pinnacle Overlook in the Cumberland Gap National Park right in Lee County, Virginia. Several years ago, I was traveling through the area and I decided to stop and take the tour. It looked interesting. Got my ticket, went inside the cave, and we were really only just a few steps inside when it got really dark. And all of the natural light was gone. Lanterns along a narrow path lit the way. About 30 minutes into our tour, we noticed that the trail lanterns had been turned off. The guide told us that we were going to be stepping into a spot that would only be lit by her lantern. And when we got there, she was going to turn it off. I don't know how to describe the darkness we saw in that moment. There was no adjusting to it. There was no way to see anything at all except that tiny pinhole of light just above us. It was way up there. As soon as our guide turned off her light, the room went completely, totally black. We stood there in the dark, and according to the responses when she asked, while our group was just standing there in total darkness, everyone said that they instantly noticed that tiny speck of light, that tiny dot. When our guide turned her light back on and flipped the switch on all the trail lights, we realized then that we had been standing just feet away from a deep, steep cliff. There was danger in the dark. Danger that we wouldn't have been able to see without the help of our guide and some lanterns strung along a cable. Now, in my earlier preacher years, that would have been a great opportunity to jump in and talk about Jesus being the light in the darkness and running the aisles with it. But there is, let's be honest, there really is sometimes danger in the dark, but there's also beauty and blessing. In her incredibly enlightening book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, Barbara Brown Taylor says this: through darkness we find courage, we understand the world in new ways, and we feel God's presence around us, guiding us through things seen and unseen. And she goes on to say that it's often while we're in the dark that we grow the most. Now, to our way of thinking, that's really counterintuitive. We've always been told that things need light to grow. We have a hard time believing that things really do grow in the dark. But for us to believe that nothing grows in the dark and that only bad things happen in the dark means that we would have to believe that God doesn't exist in the dark. But Barbara says, when we run from darkness, how much do we really know about what we are running from? If we turn away and run from darkness on principle, doing everything we can to avoid it because there's simply no telling what it contains, isn't there a chance that we're also running from God? Wow. There's a song that was made popular by a Southern gospel singing group called the McCameys, and Linda Randall made it more popular even after that. Pastor Marcia sings it here from time to time. The last line of the chorus of the song says, "The God of the day is still God in the night." Friends, we have to believe that. We have to believe that God is as present in our darkness as God is in our light. And I would even suggest that sometimes God is even more obvious in our darkness. Have you ever looked into the noon sky and noticed the billions of stars that dance there? Me either. That doesn't mean they're not there. You might see the moon in the middle of the day, but the stars are hidden behind the light. They're there, they're just not obvious. So for those of us who are trying to feel our way through horrible darkness, bumping into things that we can't see and tripping over obstacles and hearing strange noises, for those who can't seem to find any comfort in their dark, scary situation, I want to remind you that the absence of light does not mean the absence of God. Most of us remember back in December 2012 when 20 school children and 6 adults were murdered at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. While our nation prepared to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we were forced to pause as we grieved and heaved and mourned. A few days after that shooting, one of my favorite writers, Max Lucado, wrote a beautiful prayer in response. "Dear Jesus, it's a good thing you were born at night. This world sure seems dark. I have a good eye for silver linings, but they seem dimmer today. These killings, Lord, these children, Lord, innocence violated, raw evil demonstrated. The whole world seems on edge, trigger happy, ticked off. We hear threats of chemical weapons and nuclear bombs. Are we one button push away from annihilation? Your world seems a bit darker this Christmas. But you were born in the dark, right? You came at night. The shepherds were night shift workers. The wise men followed a star. Your first cries were heard in the shadows. To see your face, Mary and Joseph needed a candle's flame. It was dark. Dark with Herod's jealousy, dark with Roman oppression, dark with poverty, dark with violence. Herod went on a rampage, killing babies. Joseph took you and your mom into Egypt. You were an immigrant before you were a Nazarene. Oh Lord Jesus, you entered the dark world of your day. Won't you enter ours? We're weary of bloodshed. We, like the wise men, are looking for a star. We, like the shepherds, are kneeling at a manger. This Christmas, we ask you, heal us, help us, be born anew in us, hopefully, your children." So you see, God is just as much, if not more, present in the darkness, the world's darkness, our nation's darkness, your own personal darkness. When we find ourselves in that dark place, we wonder, how can that be? How can God be there? It doesn't seem like God is with us in our darkness. But through the heart and the hands of Jesus, over and over again in the Scriptures, we see God's presence in people's darkest moments. He was a comforter and a healer and a friend and an encourager. He was the small speck of light at the top of that very dark cave that kept the whole place from being void, completely void of light. That is the definition of dark, isn't it? The absence of light. Well, if that's true, then we have to believe a difficult truth. God is both light and darkness. Saint Hildegard of Bingen was a mystic poet, preacher, and theologian of the 10th century. And she wrote, "We cannot live in a world that is interpreted for us by others. An interpreted world is not a hope. Part of the terror is to take back our own listening, to use our own voice, to see our own light." Friend, it's time for us to take back our own listening, to use our own voice, and to see our own light. And sometimes, be prepared, because sometimes that light looks like darkness. I'd encourage you as best you can to not be afraid of the dark, because Jesus is there. Who knew there could be so much light in the dark? And wow, what a treasure. Amen. Amen. Amen.